It's great to see you, church. Thank you very much for making the decision to be here, especially on a holiday weekend. It is so good to have so many of you all with us today. I know we have a lot out of town, and we have many that have come our way. Maybe they're visiting family. Maybe they're just visiting for the first time, but I'm glad you're here. But we do want to pray for all of those who may not be able to be with us today, whether traveling or not. It's been an awesome day, and George, I know, mentioned that word a moment ago, but I really truly mean it in the way that it is supposed to be meant. It is a God-inspired day. This is our worship to Him. It's what we do on the first of our week, and I'm glad that we're able to do it together. I think, you know, it's just amazing to see Joseph. I can remember Joseph growing up here, and now he's a man, and he's leading singing, does a great job. But it had me thinking about Joseph and his family. And please continue to remember Joseph's grandfather, Alicia's dad, Mr. Sermon Lee, in your prayers. Mr. Sermon is battling for his life every day. And Alicia is certainly very faithful to her parents' side. And it's very hard on all of them. But I do want you to know, I think it's worth noting that between the example of Johnny and Alicia and the knowledge and Joseph and the knowledge of Mr. Lee, who was raised in the Church of Christ, and he admitted to Brother Larry and myself, he's a baptized believer, but I'm excited to report that he admitted, repented, if you will, that he had been away and that he had been wrong. And so Brother Larry and I were able to be there with him, and we feel real confident about Mr. Lee and his future and in heaven. And so I think that's a great thing, and I certainly would encourage you. I know you don't know him, but he is a man that it can really make an impact if maybe you can reach out to their family a little bit as well. You know, there are a lot of wow moments in the Bible, and I've been talking about it. Our theme this year is more. We want to be more for God, right? We want to do more. We want to stand up more. We want to be greater in all that we do. We owe that to God. He deserves our best, right? We are to seek Him first. We are to put Him first in all of our lives, but we are to give God our best. That goes back to Cain and Abel. Remember, Abel gave from the best, from the first. And that's what God wants from us. But one of the greatest wow scriptures in all the Bible is found in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to be in Acts 2 today, so you can turn in your devices or your Bibles, and you can be there in just a moment. But before we get there, I want to walk you through some important points through Scripture. And here's where I'm going with this. I think that what I get out of Acts 2 is the importance of evangelism. We are to be evangelized. And what does that mean? You know, that might be a big word for some of our kids. What does evangelism mean? It means to tell the story of Jesus. We need to go everywhere we can talking about Jesus Christ. Not just talking the talk, but walking the walk, living the life. Now, folks, there's nobody in here going to walk it perfectly. I'm going to tell you right now, if you think I walk it perfectly, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I struggle. I fail. I am an imperfect person trying to get to a perfect place. And so that's what we all are here, right? And so as we strive to walk this walk and go everywhere we can, putting in a good word for Jesus, telling others about Jesus, showing Jesus to a world, I don't believe there's a greater time or a greater need than there's ever been right now. I mean, when you think, you look around us and there's so much hatred. There's so much turmoil. There's so much just back and forth and, you know, a lot of sin, a lot of devil being glorified. But do you realize that 96% of the United States, especially, you might even can say the world, even though they may not believe our God, but believe in God? 96%? That doesn't mean that 96% of the people are living faithful lives to God by any means. But that minority of people that do not believe, that are agnostic or atheist or whichever terminology you put in there or wherever category they're in, skeptic, there are 96% of us that still believe. But that 96%, it falls way off to those who are actively pursuing. But there's a great opportunity. And I don't believe it's as hard as the devil wants us to believe to encourage people about Jesus Christ. And that's our mission. That's our job. What a blessing it is to be able to sit here today. Amen? Because somebody did what? They loved you. Somebody loved you enough to tell you about Jesus Christ. Am I wrong on that? No. It might have been a mom, it might have been a daddy, it might have been a grandma, a grandpa, it might have been a future husband, a future wife, it may have been a neighbor down the street. It was somebody who's told you the story of Jesus and loved you and built a bridge to your heart rather than a wall to your life, and they were able to help get you here today. I'm thankful for that. I am thankful to be able to stand before you as a saved Christian and walk the walk, talk the talk. Again, maybe not perfectly, but we're striving our best to do it. And that's what God expects from us. But there's somebody out there that needs you. And there's somebody out there that needs me. You see, I can't reach everybody. I can reach those I come in contact with. But you've got those you come in contact with that we can reach and we can encourage and we can love on. Remember now, we're walking to Acts 2 through this, but remember, and that may be a little bit small, I know it is on that screen, but this is what Jesus said in Matthew 28, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of this age." That's what we call the Great Commission, right? And I'm not teaching a lot of people new things with this. We've heard this passage if we've grown up in the church many times. But before Jesus leaves this earth, He commissions His disciples together. He gets them together and He says, "This is what I need you to do. I need you to go. I need you to make disciples. I need you to baptize them, and I need you to keep teaching." Why? Because the church is coming, and we need a Savior. The world needed a Savior and still needs a Savior. And so today, when I hear passages like this, or passages like Mark recorded it in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said to them, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Now, I want you to think about that. That's important. We hit on Matthew 28 a lot, but Mark 16, maybe we don't talk about as much, but listen to those words. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." And we need to do that. We need to teach that. We need to live that. But then there was one more time he addressed his disciples, now apostles, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, I want you to think about when he said that, they were standing in Jerusalem. Where's your Jerusalem? I've said this before to you, but I think it's important and worth mentioning again. My Jerusalem. Where is my Jerusalem? Well, today my Jerusalem's right here in this church building, okay? There may be some in this room today that need to hear the story, that haven't heard the story. There may be some who need to believe, and some who need to repent, and some who need to confess, and some who need to be baptized, and some who need to come back home. And that opportunity is going to be open to you and to all of us in just a few moments as we sing in a song of opportunity, where you can come and you can make those decisions and walk out of here in a safe state. But in a little bit, my Jerusalem, they're going to be in the car with me. You know, they're going to be in the truck with me. That's my wife and that's my two children. They're my Jerusalem, right? I'm standing in my family. I'm living in my family. And then specifically, I could say at 3166 McRae Drive, that is my Jerusalem, right? That's where I start. But I branch out from there into my Samaria to my ends of the earth. And you and I, we have that opportunity and we need to walk in the light as Jesus Christ is in the light. But you know what that means? It means we can't be ashamed. Anybody believe that Justin's ashamed of his socks this morning? By the way, if this sermon runs long, it's because we had the longest announcements of all time today. So it's not my fault. I love Justin and I love his enthusiasm and I love to laugh And he keeps me laughing a lot more than you would ever imagine. But he's not ashamed. By the way, any of you guys wearing those red ties ashamed this morning? No. You're talking about TUA, whoever that is. Right? No, people are excited. Why? Drive around this place. You've heard me say it before. You're going to tell if people love Disney World. You're going to tell if they ran marathons. You're going to tell if they love Alabama, Auburn, or whatever. You're going to tell if their kids made honor roll. You're going to tell if their kids beat up the kids that made honor roll. You're going to tell all these things. And you're going to see it on their cars because they tell a story. If I see somebody with an A this big on the back of their truck, you know what? I bet you, well, I'm not going to bet you. You understand that's just a bad figure of speech. But I can assure you that when I got out of that truck, they wouldn't mind telling me about the football game. But how many of us are afraid or ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ? Paul said it this way, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes." Now, in order to not be ashamed of the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, then we must live this life. So that gets us to our wow scripture of the day. In Acts chapter 2, what's going on in Acts 2? It's a beautiful scene. Jesus just told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, "Be witnesses for me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth," right? And so that point is there. Now, the disciples, now apostles, they didn't get it because they said, well, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel? And he's just like, no, you just wait on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming. And so miraculously, in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit descends down upon those apostles. And they have all the gifts where they can perform miracles and they can heal and they obviously could speak in tongues, which is another language, and they could be heard in the person's native language. And so if I spoke English today and you were a Spanish-speaking people, I would speak, this is kind of how it would work. I would speak English and you all would hear it in Spanish. Or if we were in Russia, this would be very nice for those who've been, or Ukraine, this would be very nice for those of us who've been to Ukraine. I could speak English and they'd hear it in Russian is what the natives speak there and where we go. And so that's kind of how it works. Okay. That's how it worked. They would speak their native language and the others would hear it in theirs. And so they didn't understand what was going on. The people that had gathered on this day of Pentecost, it was very confusing to them. So when they didn't understand what was going on, here's what they said. They said, well, they're just all drunk. And Peter stood up. Peter, a fisherman, no education, a roughneck, if you will. The man that Jesus Christ symbolically gave the keys to the kingdom of heaven, which is a synonym for the church of our Lord. He gave those keys to him in Matthew 16. What do you do with keys? You unlock things. And so Peter stood up in Acts chapter 2 and he preached that gospel sermon. He wasn't afraid to preach it. And he said, they're not drunk. And he stuck the keys into the lock and he started symbolically opening the doors to the kingdom. And he preached Christ crucified. He said, Jesus Christ, He came, He lived, He died, He was resurrected. He's not like David. He's not in a grave dead. The King that you revere, He's not in that grave dead like David is. He said, He is resurrected at the right hand of God. You had Him and you killed Him. And you know what? They're cutting the heart. They're cutting the heart. And so I want you to fast forward now to Acts 2. This is a wow moment in time. In Acts 2 verse 40 we're going to pick up. But here's some things I want you to remember. How can I make sure I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? How can I make sure I am doing like Peter and standing up and speaking out and opening doors and not putting walls up? The first thing I need to do is I need to live like I'm alive. We need to live like we are alive. Listen to Acts 2 now. You remember verse 38, 37, they were cut to the heart. Peter said in verse 38, then you need to repent and be baptized. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And 3,000 of them did it. Now verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And now all who believed were together and had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Here are the words that stand out to me. You know, I like to do that. I like to pull the words out and they speak sermons to me and speak points to me. First, the thing they did, the one I picked out was gladly. They gladly received His Word. Now, I want you to know, there's a reason they gladly received the Word. They were convicted. If you go up to someone and you talk to them about Jesus, some will not gladly receive it. We see that happen in Acts 2. There has to be some conviction. I'm afraid today, and listen, I would rather preach every sermon about, hey, let's all feel good, okay? I would rather preach that every... That is an easy sermon to preach, I want you to know. It is easy to preach about, man, Jesus loves you, God loves you, they want the best for you, and all of that is true, but somewhere along the way, if we don't teach conviction, you know, if I just tell my children how great they are all the time, and I don't let them fail, and I don't let them stumble, then we're going to have some issues as they grow up, and they get in trouble, or what happens when they face adversity, right? We have to be convicted. I would guess that all of you who are baptized believers in this room today have been convicted in your heart. What happens when you're convicted and you're guilty and guilt has ridden all over your body and you are just galvanized with guilt? You want relief. So what did Peter give them? He gave them relief. He gave them hope. And he said, there's a way out of this. And so they gladly, thank you, Peter. Thank you, God. So they gladly received the word. Another word that stood out to me is continued. They continued what? In the apostles' doctrine. Now, they didn't have the written Bible then. Why? They're writing it. They're living it. They're writing it. So they had what the apostles through the Holy Spirit was able to speak to them. But they continued in it. Why? Because they loved it. Today, if I were to give you, I don't know what the number one book on the bestseller list is or the number one popular book, but you know, every now and again, this craze goes around for people in these books and they read them and everybody loves Harry Potter, those kinds of things, you know, and people will read those books and you know, by the way, that Harry Potter book is like this thick. And I have never read one word of it. I'm not knocking it. I'm just not a good reader. Okay. And that intimidates me. But there are some people that can pick up all those books and they can read them. Why? Because it's a great story. She did an awesome job. There, I use that word awesome. She did an amazing job and everything else. And so the point of it is when you get into something and you love it and you're excited, you don't want to put it down. We've lost that with the Bible though, haven't we? Somewhere along the way, we've lost that. We're not living like we're alive. They were. They were together. I enjoy being with you. I really do. I enjoy being... There's nobody in this room today, and I don't know who all... I can't tell you. If you ask me to close my eyes and tell you everybody's here, I can get pretty close, but I can't tell you everybody who's in here today. But there's not a person in this room I don't want to be with. I don't have any enemies in this room, thankfully. If we are enemies, well, let's work that out. I didn't know. But the point is, I love that. Why? Because you're my friends, you're my family, you're my brothers, you're my sisters. I want to be with people that are trying to get to heaven, and they did too. And then another phrase that stood out is gladness and simplicity of heart. Why did they eat their food with gladness and simplicity of heart? The guilt was gone. It had been washed away. The death was gone. They were living like they were alive and not dead. Do you think that had an effect on the people around them and the growth of the church? When they lived like they were alive. Now in verse 37, they were not living like they were alive. They were full of guilt. In verse 38 through 40, when they were baptized and their sins were washed away, they're now glad. They're now together. They're now celebrating. It's gladness and simplicity of heart. Why? Because the guilt's gone. They're living like they're alive. And in verse 47, God added to the church daily those who were being saved. Every single day, people were seeing Jesus through these men and women. The question is, are we living that way? How are we walking around? Are you walking around like you're saved? Or are you walking around like you're miserable? You see, if I'm saved today, there's no reason to hang my head. Do I have bad things happen in my life? You better believe I do. Do I have bad days? You better believe I had a bad day this past week. Really did. Just down in the dumps kind of day. But you know what? After a few prayers and a few people helping me along the way, I was able to put my head high again. Those things are temporal. When I am saved, those things are temporary. Why? Because, folks, I'm going to a place where there'll be no more heartache. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more misery. I need to live like I am going to heaven. And others will take notice. We need to be joyful. We need to be positive. We need to be alive. We don't need to walk around sour, negative, or like we're dead. Others will notice. God will be glorified. Seeds will be planted. And God will provide growth. Secondly, we need to love like we know we're loved. Back up to verse 36 and 37 now. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They said, Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promises to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. By the way, that is us, as many as the Lord our God will call. Can you imagine that swing in emotion? You ever had your kids in trouble and, you know, when the punishment or the lecture or whatever is over, the swing in emotion? Husbands and wives, you ever been in a fight or a fuss or an argument or whatever, and when it's over, the swing in emotion? Now multiply that by a lot and realize you've just been convicted of murder. You have murdered an innocent person. By your actions, by your cries, by you screaming, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. You have taken an innocent man, a mama's son, a man who did no wrong, a man who came to love you, to help you, to heal you, and you killed him. You drove nails in his hands. You drove nails in his feet. You beat him. You spit on him. You made fun of him, and you put him on a tree. And you felt pretty good about yourself because he's a blasphemer. He's not going to talk about my God come and claim that he can save people and heal people and change the law and all this stuff. I'm not going to listen to that man. I'm proud of what we did. And then all of a sudden you hear this sermon and you realize I'm guilty. They were cut to the heart. I killed God in the flesh. But God in the flesh has allowed me the opportunity to be forgiven. Can you imagine that swing in emotion? Can you imagine the love that they felt? You may not have killed Jesus. You may not have hammered the nails. I may not have spit in His face. I may not have ridiculed Him on that day. But the Hebrew writer reminds us that when we sin, we crucify Jesus Christ all over again. Today, I don't want you to feel guilt-ridden. I want you to walk out of here with your heads held high. Most importantly, God wants you to walk out of here with your heads held high. And so, when we do that, we know we're loved. And we need to love like we know we are loved. Can you imagine how tighter the hugs were when these people had their sins washed away? How happier the faces were? How sweeter the embraces? How sweeter the kisses? How sweeter the words? And that's what we need to be living. Guilty of a death sentence. And the judge says, no, let's give them another chance. How are we going to respond to that judge? We're going to love them. We're going to appreciate them. We're going to do whatever we can to make sure that we stay right. Jesus Christ gave us a second chance. Let's love Him like He loves us. Let's love others like He loves them. And then finally, we want to live like we're alive. We want to love like we know we're loved. We want to lead like a soul depends on it. What happened with Peter? Peter, I can relate so much to him because I stick my foot in my mouth a lot. I talk when, you know, Peter almost had a nervous talk, like nobody else is talking, I'm going to talk. I'm the same way. If there's awkward silence, I'll speak up because even though it may not make a lot of sense and it may be dumb, I will still speak up because I don't like it to be awkward. It's just a nervous habit I have. And so I talk a lot. And sometimes I say things that are wrong. And sometimes I talk when I should have hushed. Peter did the same thing. Peter was a man that went from trying to catch fish to being an apostle, being an elder, being a gospel preacher. He led like souls depended on it. But he knew that his soul had been saved. What happens when we evangelize, when we preach or teach the way God desires us to? Then we're going to go everywhere we can and come around everybody we possibly can, and we're going to tell them what Jesus had done. I said this before, but the word testimony should not be a bad word. It should not be a word that we let get away from us. Okay, we need to tell our story to others. We need to let others know how Jesus Christ has impacted our life. You know why? Because there are others who are facing what you have faced in your life. And there are others who are struggling with some of the struggles that you have faced in your life. How did you get through it? How did you make it through it? Well, let me tell you how I made it through it. His name is Jesus Christ. That's what happened in the early church. By the way, in Acts 16, 22:16 is another popular verse. But in Acts 16, when Paul and Silas were in prison and the jailer became a Christian, he and his family, they were baptized into Christ. Remember that same hour of the night, that late night? You think Paul had to preach a lot to him? No. Because he saw them leading. He saw them praising God. He saw that even in the times that they were facing, they were glorifying God for what He had done for them. What happens when we lead like souls depend on it? I'll tell you what happened in the early church. 3,000 in Acts chapter 2 because of the apostles. It grows to 5,000 men a few chapters later. They quit numbering it. They say they grew by multitudes. And then in fact, they were accused of turning the world upside down. Evangelism works. Teaching people about Jesus works. The gospel works. Bible study, putting in a good word for Jesus, loving others, living like Christ has made a difference in our lives. It still works. You see, we don't have a choice. I want to reference you back to Matthew 28, Mark 16, and Acts 1. We do not have a choice. It is not just me. It is not just Justin and Jason. It is not just our elders. It is all of us. We are called to make disciples, baptize, and teach. We are called to plant seed and water. We don't have a choice. There's a soul that depends on you. And there's a soul that depends on me. And we've got to lead. We can't push. We've got to lead. Are we willing to lead? You know, as I close this sermon out, Acts 2 is, you know, right up there with the most wow of all the chapters. Because it's where it starts. Today we are a member of the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. And that same church started in Acts chapter 2. Isn't that amazing to think about? Here we are on a different continent in a different place. But that gospel message got here. And that gospel message is still preaching. How did it get to you? I don't know. I don't know who told you about Jesus. I don't know all of your stories. Some I might, many I do not. But here's what some I was witness to. But here's what I want you to know, that somebody loved some people in my family enough to teach people, and they taught people, and they taught people, and I'm here today. And I appreciate that. And I love those people who I don't even know for that reason. In Acts 2, they probably didn't know Peter. They may not have known John and James and all the others, but I guarantee you they hugged them. They loved them. And they appreciated them. Because they helped lead them to Jesus Christ. Today, do you live like you're alive? Do you love like you're loved, and are you leading like a soul depends on it? Are you thankful to be a part of the greatest entity in existence today? Today, if you're not a member, we can have a wow moment today. We can watch you be baptized into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Or there may be some here who've been away for a long time and you want to be right again. You want to get that guilt off of you again. Today, that opportunity is right here before you as together we stand and sing.